time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, you caught me working over here again. Just as we started to go on the air, something popped out at me and I had to get over here on my research apparatus here and see what I could find out. And that's what I'm doing right now. Welcome this morning to Pass the Salt. Praise the Lord. Michelle's feeling better today. I hear her upstairs wandering around doing some different stuff. So God bless it. Hey, God bless all of you out there. Listen, I'm going to say this in a nice way. I love hearing from all you guys out there. I love the emails. Send me emails. I read every one of them. And I try to respond to every one of them. But I want you also to be sensitive to something, to understand this. I get a lot of them. And sometimes I get emails that are like, takes 5 minutes to read them. And I appreciate that you take the time and effort to do that. I do. I read them. But I don't have time to respond 5 pages. I just don't have time. And it's not that I'm brushing you off or any of that stuff. And I've gotten some really, really good tips from people who've sent stuff into me and said, hey, Coach, have you considered this? And no, I hadn't considered that. Thanks. But I don't want to, I will not get on email and argue back and forth. I don't have time to get on email and argue back and forth over specific issues. Okay. So I want you to know when you send me something, I try to respond. I want you to know that I read every email I get. I want you to know I don't get mad when I read your emails. Okay. But understand that what I'd spend all day answering debates on email and don't have time to do it. How do you like my shirt today? So when I had this one made up. I wore this one this came out a few years ago. It says, I'm a heavy drinker. And I wear that through the airport, and people would look at me so disgusting. But you see, you got to see the back of it. So I'd be in the airport, and I'd walk through, be carrying my bag or whatever. I'm a heavy drinker. And people were still moral enough. They think, why would that guy be bragging about that? What's wrong with that guy bragging that he's a drunk? But you got to see what it says on the back. And I don't even know if I can do this. And on the back of it, it says, I drink the living water. And it's got the Bible. Oh, so I love wearing that one, man. Because you can see their attitude change in one flip. See, we get in trouble because of what we assume, right? Somebody told me a long time ago, when you assume something, you make an ass out of you and me. Boy, is that ever true. Boy, is that ever true. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Hey, listen, Chad was going to do a little bit of prepping this morning. Chad hadn't been able to get in here. So, Chad, if you're listening out there, I'm going to take the pressure off you. We're going to scratch at it. Folks, here's what we're going to start doing. We're going to start every Friday. We're going to do a little bit of prepping. I'm not going to dedicate a whole show to prepping. I'm not going to do that anymore. So Chad was going to do about 10 or 15 minutes here, and we just got our swords crossed or our wires crossed. And we didn't get it up here in time. And so, Chad, you can relax out there. I appreciate you trying to put all that together, and I screwed up and didn't give you enough time. So next Friday, we'll have 15 minutes of prepping next Friday. And, I was talking about emails that come in. I got a text message yesterday, and hey, I don't know about you guys. You know what pressure I'm under? Here's the pressure I'm under. When yesterday's show was over, I was kind of like, wow, was that something? Like I'm just telling you, that was my reaction. When I unplugged everything, turned everything off, and walked upstairs, I thought, golly, was there some truth there? So then I go to bed last night. I get up this morning about 4:30 and say, okay, Lord, how do I top that? Might as well just sign off. How do I top that? And so the pressure of coming down here and having a impactful show, it's self-imposed pressure, because every time I come down here, every time I walk down those steps and turn those lights on, the Holy Spirit shows up. So I know he's going to show up today too. So I'm not worried about that. But yesterday I thought was especially It was a good show yesterday. You know why it's a good show? Because it was truth that counters established truth. You know, they're not always the same, don't you? You do know that, don't you? You say, well, Coach, truth is truth. Well, is it really? I heard Katy Perry the other day talk about living out her truth. In fact, I heard Tommy Lahren. Isn't that what she said the other day? I'm going to live out my truth. Well, that's all good, except there aren't versions of the truth. There is the truth and then somebody else's version of it. And I love to get into these debates back and forth where I make a point and then people actively try to, and it's good. I'm not complaining. They actually try to point out where I'm wrong, and their argument doesn't even make sense. Their argument doesn't even make sense logically. But see, here's where we run into trouble. In my opinion, we run into trouble. We are so sure that what we know is true that just like the evolutionists, we try to find the facts to support what we believe. Rather than just opening the Bible and reading and following where the Bible takes us and trusting yourself to have the ability to think and to reason. So yesterday, last evening, I got a text message from my buddy John Brockhoff. If you listen, you're probably not even up down there yet, John, Southern Ohio. I don't think they've piped the sunlight even in there down there for you yet. And he sent me something. He says, Coach, how about this? And he texted to me, 2 Chronicles 19:2. Because if you're watching yesterday, we were talking about does God love everybody? Man, guys, is that ever a tough nut to crack? That one right there. Oh, I'm getting more pushback from that than anything. I mean, it's just hard because we've been taught love, love, love. See, somewhere along the line, Chad, somewhere along the line, people allowed their emotions to get involved with it, with them. When you let your emotions get involved with you, it clouds the truth, see. It's like a guy whose wife is running around on him. He loves her, and he sees the telltale signs, but he doesn't want to believe it. So he ignores the telltale signs. Oh, that can't be true. That can't be true. But it is true. And so what happens to us is we find ourselves caught in a situation. We've already been taught something, and we got our faith and our Christianity built on this one truth. And, man, for us to buy into something other than that is, boy, it's like chipping away at some blocks in your life, you know. It's hard to do. And I don't want to do that. See, I don't want to be comforted. I want to be truthful. I don't just want to feel good. I want to be challenged. And if something isn't true, I want to know it's not true. So yesterday we were talking about God doesn't love everybody, and I thought it was awesome, man. Of course I'm doing it, so I would think it is. But I thought it was awesome. The stuff that we showed yesterday where God got some folk he ain't happy with, right? But my buddy John sent me this. He texted me 2 Chronicles 19:2. Can we go there, Jared? And I'm not going to stay on this because I got a lot of places to go to here, man. But this blew me away. 2 Chronicles 19:2. We talked yesterday about our need to love the Lord more than our need to love our family. And when a conflict comes between loving the Lord and loving our family, when those two come in conflict, whether it's very clear, you can't love your family over the Lord. And you especially can't love somebody that's not even in your family over the Lord. You can't. Let me stop right there because I also heard from someone, I think it's really, really true, that to understand there's a difference between love and charity. You read the love verse in 1 Corinthians 13, I think it is. The word's charity. Can we go there? Jared, I'm sorry. I hate it when I do this. I hate it. But it came to me. I want to clear it up. Can we go there real quick, Jess? First Corinthians. Is it 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 13. Love verse. We're going to come back to 2 Chronicles. Stay with me here a second. But I think this is critical. This is where we get mixed up. 2 Chronicles. No, I think it's 1 Corinthians, Jared. 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah, boy. Okay. Oh, okay, here we go. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. charity. And a lot of times when I read it, I put love in there because we call it the love verse, and I feel more comfortable with love. And though I live with the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself up. So, guys, what's the difference between love and charity? Well, I think love is an emotion and a feeling that I have towards those who are intimately involved in my life. I love them. I love them. The idea of charity, if you think about it, when you give to a charity, what do you do when you give to a charity? Well, you basically give to an anonymous group who are going to use that to do good works for other people. So we're not supposed to have love for everybody, but rather charity towards them, goodwill and good works towards them, but not to love them. Those are not the same. And isn't it amazing? See, I always thought this when I read this, and I always got kind of angry. I thought, well, King James is wrong here. It's love. It's not charity. Who changed King James? Well, no, the King James verse is charity. And everywhere else, they've changed it to love. That makes a difference, doesn't it, if you think about that? You can show charity to somebody without loving them. Big, 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 big difference. Big difference. Okay, good. Let's go back to where was I saying? 2 Chronicles. Roger, I'm going to connect the dot here real quick. And, I'm going to do this too. It's going to be slick. Okay, you ready? Remember, John sends to me yesterday. Stay with me. I got some good stuff coming. Hang on. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem. Get the picture? Of course, we haven't read what Jehoshaphat just did, but Jehoshaphat just made some compromises. And now he's heading home. And why is he heading home? Well, he's heading home in peace. Jared, that's popped up on the screen there, man. I don't know what I can't see. There you go. Thanks. And when he gets home, look what happens in verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went up to meet him. Meet who? Jehoshaphat, the king. And said to King Jehoshaphat, hey, bud, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? What are you doing, Jehoshaphat? Loving the ungodly and those that hate the Lord. And he says to him, the seer, be careful, therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He says, listen, you just went and did some good stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. You ticked off the Lord. Why did you tick off the Lord? Well, because you went out and you helped the ungodly. And you loved those that hate God. Stay with me. Nevertheless, there are some good things found in you, Jehu says, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and you have prepared thine heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat sits down. He dwells at Jerusalem. He sits down there. And he says, uh-oh. And he went out again. Jehoshaphat thought about what Jehu just said to him, sat and thought about it for a while, and then he got up and he went back out. Went through the people of Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And watch this. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. Now, don't lose this. Why was he doing this? Because Jehu just told him, you've been doing good things to bad people. What's wrong with you? You're the king. You're supposed to be representing the Lord, and you've been doing good things to bad people. Stop that. Jehoshaphat thinks about it, says, wow. So verse 6 says, and he said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you don't judge for man, boys. Judge Gorsuch. You don't judge for the people, you judge for the Lord. And there is no sin, iniquity with the Lord for our God, or no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He says, you're a representative of the Lord, and you quit being nice to people who don't deserve it. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set out the Levites. and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they return to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what call soever shall come unto you, whether it be your brothers that dwell in the cities, whether it be between blood and blood, in other words, family issues, between the law and the commandments, statutes and judgment, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. He said, if your brother screws up, you better not side with your brother. Mm-mm. Your buddy screws up, you better not be siding with your buddy. You better be siding with the Lord. Moreover, verse 8, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set off the Levites and of the priests and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what call soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. He says, you better tell them the truth that they're in trouble with the Lord. And if you don't tell them that they're in trouble with the Lord, it's coming to you. And behold, Amaziah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with thee for good. Let's go back up to the top of that, Jared. I don't want anybody to miss what I just read. I know it's Old Testament, old mean Jesus. I understand. But what's he in trouble for? Verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Wow. Jared, is there a way to switch to the Message Bible on this one? Because the Message Bible, even though it's not scriptural, I'd love to read what it says in there. See if we can find that real quickly. 2 Chronicles 19 on the Message Bible. Hey, folks, don't ever say Coach Dave's quoting from the Message Bible. Here it is, the Message Bible. What's it say? Verse 2. But Jehoshaphat, what's that?
You heathen.
Yeah, I'd be like you reading that sissy thing you got. But Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, got home safe and sound. Jehu, son of Hanani the seer, he confronted. That's a different word, isn't it? He confronted King Jehoshaphat. And he says, you have no business helping evil, cozying up to the God haters. Because you did this, God's angry with you, dude. You're not all bad. You did clean out some of that sex and religion shrines. You did some good stuff. Who's he talking to? Talking to the king, because what did the king do? Help the ungodly. Thanks, John Brockoff. Thanks for giving me that. Right, it's right there before you, baby. It's right there before you now. I don't have time to do it, but you can go to Second Chronicles 20, and you can see the fruit of what happens when Jehoshaphat begins to apply that principle the guy just told him. And what was the underlying principle, Roger? Quit doing good to the bad. Am I misquoting this? George, am I saying this wrong? George, Sarge, somebody, am I saying it wrong? Or is that what it just said? You're in trouble because you've been doing good things to bad people. Hey, does that blow your theology? It blows mine a little bit, but it's right there. It's right there. Thanks, John, for that. Okay.
It says what it says.
It says what it says, brother. No matter what how your pastor may try to reinterpret it, it says what it says. Big things going on in America. There's big things going on in America right now. And there's so much going on, and it's happening in so many different directions. The promise of the Lord is that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I don't know if you guys have been following. I'm sorry. I re-listened yesterday. My hacking on. I apologize. I don't have a real cough button. I could take this thing off. But I've had this cold for about a week and still hanging on. I got lozenges. I try to use those. Things are breaking loose, guys. Things are breaking loose. Hey, Jared, I sent you a bunch of stuff there. Let's pull this one up, Jared, if we could, just so people will see what I'm talking about. Pull up. No, what did I do? Did I, that's, I sent that. There it is. I'm sorry, Jared. Going to NYPD, Jared. Down to NYPD. Let's click on that one real quick. Hey, guys, this stuff has not gone to bed at all. In fact, yesterday, Dr. Phil, I'm going to get to this here in a second. Yesterday, Dr. Phil did a show on this international pedophile ring. Dr. Phil, you hear me? Dr. Phil. Something's going on. Now, look at this. This is latest news. There's James Comey, our buddy James Comey. And look what it says, the headline. New NYPD, that's the New York Police Department, throws the FBI under the bus and reveals a sickening content on Anthony Weiner's seized laptop. Hey, Jared, scroll up there a little bit. What is this dated? Because a lot, when you're on Facebook, oh, there it is. You can stop right there. When you're on Facebook, you got to check. You can go back down, Jared. You better check because sometimes these things are 6 months, 7 months old. Right there it is. Posted on March 23rd, 2017. This is a new story. And what is the news story? The NYPD has the contents of Weiner's laptop. They've had it since way back in October. They've trusted the FBI to be doing something with it. And now what are they realizing? The FBI ain't doing nothing with it. You know why the FBI isn't doing anything with it? Because the FBI is involved with it. And James Comey's job has been to cover for the deep state. Been the cover for him. And here the cops in New York City, they released all that information to the FBI because they figured people would already be in jail. And one of the things that this article goes on and talks about was they have absolutely documented proof that Weiner was messing around, fooling around with a 15-year-old girl online, underage, and Hillary knew it. And Hillary covered, which, by the way, is a crime. And the evidence was given to the FBI. Remember when he reopened his investigation, yada, 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 just before the election, they screamed and hollered. This was what all was about. And he opened that investigation to try to get the NYPD off his back. So he opened it, and 2 days later, he closed it back down. Remember all that? Remember? Let's say you can throw dirt on something, but eventually that stuff's going to get uncovered. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. That's what's going on here, guys. Okay, so while that's going on, the other big news to break, and you maybe guys haven't been following this as well, is Congressman Nunez from California, who's head of the Judicial Committee. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. The House Judiciary, whatever. He dropped a bombshell yesterday, and that bombshell said this. Well, they do have undisputed truth that Obama spied on Trump. The information was delivered to Nunez on Thursday, it says here. Wednesday, to the point where Nunez released the news and went to the White House and told the president, Trump, hey, sorry, we do have information. You were spied on. We do now have that. We do have it. So now everybody's going crazy, but do you want the backstory on it? Can I give you the backstory on it? Information has been out there for 2 years that this has been going on. And not only has it been going on with the White House, are you guys sitting down? You want to know why our government is so screwed up? They've had this information. A whistleblower named Montgomery came forward and he brought 600 million. I said that right. 600 million documents. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. 47 hard drives. And he went all around Congress and wanted to be an official whistleblower and went to different congressmen and took the evidence with him. And none of them have done anything about it for 2 years. 2 years. They haven't done anything about it. So Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch, very well-respected guy, he's a former federal prosecutor. He went to Nunez because he's been kind of an attorney for this Montgomery, this whistleblower. This whistleblower, Montgomery, wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to do what Edward Snowden did and just release it and go have to run and hide. He wanted to go through proper channels as a federal whistleblower. Been doing it for 2 years. And finally, Larry Kleeman was able to get through and put the schneid on Nunez. I went to Nunez's office and said, listen, if you don't release this stuff that you've had for 2 years, if you don't release this that you've had for 2 years, I'm going to tell you something. All hell's about to break loose. And what happened? Nunez released it. And he went to Trump. And here's what we know. It connects directly to the Muslim in chief. His fingerprints are all over it. Now, see, they're still trying to tell us this isn't going on. Boys, let me tell you something. Something big is getting ready to break. Because hang on. This information, think about this now. They've been wiretapping the Supreme Court, 156 federal judges, in order to blackmail them. So when a case comes before a federal judge, they know which judge they got goods on, and they make sure that the case gets filed in his court because they have goods on him. That's why Obama flew out to Hawaii with that other dude out there in Hawaii, and that judge in Hawaii put a stay on Trump's executive order. They have goods on John Roberts. Why do you think John Roberts flip-flopped on Obamacare 2 years ago to the shock of everybody else? Been wiretapping all elected officials, 150-some federal judges, gathering information. Who has? The Muslim-in-chief. That's who. It's going down, folks. It's going down. Now, here's some disheartening things. Trey Gowdy's had his information for 2 years. According to Larry Klayman, Trey Gowdy's had this information for 2 years. It's not information on Trump. Information that they were wiretapping everybody. They're wiretapping everybody. So it's coming down. It's exciting. But it's going to, I believe, it's going to lead to the other side's going to really, really push hard. I got some stuff to show you here. Anybody want to jump in here real quick? I'm going to show you something about from Dr. Phil yesterday that just kind of, wow, it's amazing.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Been here for a second. You know, I wouldn't mind hearing that God loves everybody. First of all, if it was in the Bible, but even I wouldn't mind hearing it as we hear it all the time. If I also heard his wrath is coming to everybody.
Right.
I wouldn't mind hearing he loves you a bunch if I heard, and also if you're not obedient, his wrath is coming your way.
That's right. That most message is totally missing. And if you carry that message, you're not welcome in church and probably not welcome with your friends. Probably not.
Hey, Coach.
George?
Hey, just real quick, which goes along with what Roger just said. I just looked up Psalms 5:5, mm-hmm. and it clearly says God hates of iniquity.
God hates all workers of iniquity. Psalm 5:5. Go there real quickly, Jared. I want you to see it. We trust but verify here. Hearken unto my voice, my cry, my king, my God, for unto thee will I pray, David said. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you. Now I'm going to look up. For you're not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell wherever you are. 5. Lord, the foolish shall not stand in your sight. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. I don't think God's crying over David Rockefeller today. I skipped it. I'm sorry. Verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. There she be, boys. There she be. So the distractions, let me jump back. Thanks for that, George. Let me jump back to where we were. Just play a little 5-minute clip here. Hey, Jared, pull up Sean Hannity there. I think it's 5 minutes. I don't want it to be too long. I want you to know that what I'm telling you is the truth. 3 minutes and 56 seconds. Hannity is speaking to Nunez. Here we go.
Intelligence this is now mainstream. Devin Nunez made the bombshell announcement confirming what President Trump has been now saying for weeks, that in fact surveillance was collected on members of his team, including himself. Joining us now with reaction from Circa News is Sarah Carter. With all the breaking news tonight, Sarah, this would have been my lead on any other night. This is what you have been telling this audience for over 2 weeks straight now, and corroborates and confirms everything you and John Solomon reported. I want your full reaction and anything you want to add to this.
Well, I think it is hugely significant. You know, my reaction to this is, look, these sources approached Chairman Nunez. They had information, classified information, that revealed what we had been reporting all along. And obviously, that's information that I, as a reporter, can't accept or take from sources. You know, we have been told this. That's why we were out here telling the audience every day for the last 2 weeks. This goes far beyond what the scope of what everybody is reporting out there.
Russia,
of the names, going beyond Russia. So what Chairman Nunez was able to show was that it wasn't just about Russia. They were getting transcripts with unmasked names of people within the Trump team that were not about Russia at all. So we need to ask two questions, very important questions, Sean. Who were on those logs that viewed these reports and who approved it? Those are the two most important questions.
I say it a little differently, maybe to be a little more incendiary, because that's my nature. Who knew what when, and what did they know, and when did they know it? These questions now must be answered. This is so unprecedented. You talk about unmasked. Those names, that revelation in the course of regular surveillance is supposed to be as regular order. It is supposed to be hidden. And then it delves into executive order 12333. Why did Obama change it to allow 16 other agencies to have access to it? Was that designed to purposefully leak this information? There are so many unanswered questions. Where do you think this goes? That's my
stay with this
till
the end.
Question.
Stay with it till the end.
Okay, I think this goes the next step. We need to know what, to some extent, what were the other documents that were viewed by the personnel inside the intelligence community? And remember, Sean, this is a very narrow scope of people that can approve the unmasking of names. And that needs to be revealed as well. And I think Chairman Nunez is onto something here. I know we're onto something here. This is something that we're looking into. We've been investigating diligently, and hopefully we can break it on your show.
You'll be on the program tomorrow. He said he was bothered by one other thing. Now we have James Clapper, Admiral Rogers, and James Comey saying no votes were influenced at all. So this whole Russian narrative by a biased media has been wrong for all of these months. This is deep and profound and very problematic. We have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think this goes far beyond what the American people actually realize. This is about right to privacy. This goes far beyond the scope of the FISA, and this wasn't what the government said it was intended for, and it's very, very dangerous. It's dangerous to the Republic. It's dangerous to us as private citizens, and I think this investigation is going to continue, and I actually believe someone's going to pay the price for this.
I believe somebody could be very high ranking within the intelligence community, and it may go to Obama administration's officials. Am I onto something in your opinion based on what you know now? Yes or no?
Yes.
There you go. Well, there you go. The facts are out there, boys and girls. Listen, see, Coach, why would you even bring this up? Because I'm telling you, they are not going to take this lying down, whether it be a false flag, a financial collapse, something. I just keep your eye on the ball. Because you see how hard they've been working to make this about Russia, 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 Russia. And we know it's not about Russia. We know it's not about Russia. But they're trying to distract us to follow it. Cool. I'm going to shift gears. Anybody want to throw something in there? Just trying to bring you a little bit of truth so you see what's going on. And you know what the result of it is, Rich? Second Chronicles, as they're saying to Jehoshaphat, unrighteous judges, unrighteous judgment. The Lord has seen it, that what's going on, some people get treated one way and other people get treated another way, and the Lord doesn't like it, and he's sick and tired of it, and there's some stuff that's going to be exposed, and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Okay? Cool? All right, Jared, let's do this, man. Down to very bottom, bring up the Dr. Phil article. Pedigate, pedophile is real. Look at this. Look at this. Mainstream Dr. Phony Phil. Phony Dr. Phil. Call him whatever you want to. Dr. Phil exposes elite government pedophile ring on mainstream TV. Now, hang on. What's the date on that, Jared? Why, March 23rd. Huh. So, Dr. Phil does a show on pedophile. Congressman Nunez, same day, releases the fact that everybody's being spied on. Anybody seen Obama lately? Hillary? John McCain's gone silent, hasn't he? What's going on? All right, boys. Well, let's sit back here and see. You ready, Rog? Hey, Roger, maybe you can get some clients out of this. Okay, I want to show you something. Here, this is 3 minutes long. Let's show this first. Rich Clinton. Now, let's show this one. Show the one that says Dr. Phil. It's 3 minutes, Jared. Dr. Phil, 3 minutes. This is on, yesterday. This was on Dr. Phil's show yesterday. This is a girl who was sex trafficked from the time she was born. Go ahead, Jared. 3 minutes.
World of sex trafficking, I gave birth to children. I was allowed to get pregnant because men paid for that. I was pregnant several times, but I had several abortions. I had three that survived. Two girls and a boy. When I had each child, they were all induced so that I wouldn't get too big. After I had each baby, they were taken away, but sometimes I would get to see them later as a reward. I don't know who their fathers are or where they are. I would like to have my kids with me, but I feel like if I did, I would just get them in trouble. It's been so difficult that even now, I try to forget that I've had them.
Were you involved in raising these children?
No.
So how quickly were they taken away from you?
Freeze this, Jared.
Right after I had them.
I want you to watch this. I got another clip. I want you to watch this young lady. There's no doubt she's like almost a robot. She's been so emotionally damaged. You can probably imagine. We're going to find out here. They started doing it to her before she could talk. She said, go ahead.
So you've not seen them? You don't have a relationship with them?
I've seen them several times for like if I did something right or if he wanted me to do something. Sometimes he would say I could see one of them after. And there was the younger girl I had. I saw her more often than the other two.
Now, when he started trafficking you in a commercial way, how many times would you be expected to perform in a day?
I don't know. It's hard to even know sometimes when the day ended.
Would you see three or would you see 15?
More like 15.
In a day?
Yeah, unless, I mean, if the client paid for something exclusive, then you could be with him longer. Or if they were doing something different than just sex, you have to finish with the client, do whatever they want. But if it was just sex, it would be a lot of men.
Okay. And when you would see 15 a day, where would you see them? Would it be in a hotel? Would they come to you? Would you go to them? Where would you see that many people?
Like a lot of times I would go to parties, and that's where I would see them. Sometimes they would come to me. If I was being punished for something and I was put in one of his brothels, then they would come there. Sometimes I just, would live in a room for a while where the men would come, but sometimes I would live somewhere and we would go to visit the men.
Uh-huh. And when you were flown, you said sometimes you were put on a private jet and flown into a big event, and you had to dress up and be highly groomed, and so you would fit in.
For the clothes, usually a guy would come in with a lot of expensive clothes and dress us up. I also had a hair and makeup artist.
That would fix you up for a big event?
Yeah.
And how much would you charge these people?
I didn't charge them anything.
You didn't handle the money?
No.
So it was direct. Who did handle the money?
I guess the people working for the man who owns me.
Jared, let's move to the next clip. It's Dr. Phil. This is Dr. Phil. It's mainstream media. Jared, go to the one that says rich clients. This whole interview is available, by the way. This is 2 minutes. Listen to this.
I was born into this world of sex trafficking. It's the only life I've ever known. Since I left, everything has been so hard. And nobody except the man who owns me can help me. I was given to the man who owns me by my birth parents. And I was forced to have sex with clients. One of my first memories was thinking that it was normal for men to be fondling babies. My whole life I traveled all over the world and would go to some of the biggest events to meet clients and have sex with them. They were all extremely rich and prominent members of society. Sometimes they would just want to have sex with me, and sometimes they'd make me have sex with different people. The clients were often physically abusive. Clients were even allowed to smother me with a pillow or plastic bag while having sex with me, but they were never allowed to leave marks or bruises on my face because I always had to look pretty. The man who owns me constantly manipulated me and did horrible things to me. He would make me be a dog, made me eat feces. I was kept in a cage. Sometimes he would electrocute me as punishment. He said that all of this was happening because it was God's will, because God made me for this. If I told anybody about what was going on, that nobody would believe me. I 100% believed him. I still believe him.
Now you might be saying, Dr. Phil, are you buying all of this? I can tell you that a very reliable source has confirmed to us that Kendall has in fact been trafficked, raped, molested, and severely abused by a very large, very dangerous organization. Now that same source also confirms that she is not a runaway. Now what I do believe is that she 100% believes even the most outrageous detail is true.
Do you think Dr. Phil has some bodyguards? What do you think's going on here, Sarge? I mean, listen, people can say, oh, well, that's not true. That she's a setup, she's a fraud. Okay. What's up with Dr. Phil? What is he doing? What is he doing? Now, hang on. This sound at all like Pedo Island to you? Sound at all like Pizzagate to you? What's Dr. Phil doing? Which side of this, if he's faking it, why is he faking it? Somebody help me here. Somebody smarter than me. Sarge?
Yeah, you got to understand that in all likelihood, she's been programmed through mind control. She may have multiple alters, and whether she's definitely a sex slave, that could be one of many, many alters. And the alter that you saw on TV, you know, the question is what she knows and what she doesn't know in her normal state of mind. It's hard to know, but the fact that Dr. Phil's putting his entire show on the line trying to expose this does say something about the fact that this stuff is getting out.
What do your police skills tell you, Rich?
This was condoned by, what is it, CBS?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the power to pull that off.
He doesn't.
He's putting it out because they want it out.
Yeah.
Why do they want it out, Rich? I agree. Why? Soften it? Maybe limit it, right? Maybe to hook just a few. Maybe to hook some. Say, oh, we got them. We got them all now. We got them all now. This is
soft disclosure.
This is big, though, don't you think? This is big. I mean, hey, this ain't Alex Jones.
No.
This Dr. Phil in the middle of the afternoon to women.
Don't forget, Disney came out last weekend with Beauty and the Beast with the LGBT agenda.
That's right.
The timing could not be more coincidental.
I just tell you, man, these Luciferians, they are something, man.
Dave, pushing. Yeah. They're pushing both sides to the ledge, man.
You said that before, brother. They are. They're pushing us to a fight, aren't they? Now, I'm going to show you another clip here that's, man. Christchurch, is it England, UK? They had a bunch of pedophilia going over here. And I want you to see this two-minute clip from a brother and sister who were molested. Hey, guys, I want you to listen to what these kids say. Are you ready? Fake news? Is this fake news? Could you get your two grandkids to fake what they're about to tell us? Go ahead.
We decided to stop touching each other, children, and stop touching each other, and stop touching ourselves,
and face our urge.
What else are you going to stop doing?
And stop touching ourselves.
And we're going to stop touching ourselves.
And what else are you going to stop?
And stop killing babies. And we have to
think
that we're going to face our fear
and
face our urge.
You're going to face your fear. Because fear is
what? Fear is demonic
fear. And you're going to help us to catch. Who are you going to help us to catch?
All the pedophiles. Papa, Miss Collins, the school.
All the policemen. All the social services.
Speak up, speak up.
All the shopkeepers. All the cafes. All the pizza
McDonald's. Who did you mention just now? Who, Kath what?
Kafkas.
Who's Kafkas?
You know, people who work at Kafkas.
What is Kafkas?
Kafkas is that they're for children. They work with the social services.
And what did they do to you?
They do sex. They touch each other. They touch me and Gabriel. They have plastic fillings. They stick it in our bottom.
Who does? Who sticks it in your bottom?
Social services. Everybody does. All of them.
Who?
Everybody.
Does your mother do it?
No.
Do I do it?
No.
Who does it then?
Papa, Miss Lawrence, the school.
Who? Parents.
My dad's parents.
Tell me some more people, too.
Parents,
I'm interested.
Parents, police.
What about the teachers at school? Who's the main ones?
Papa, Mr. Hollings, Mrs. Forsyth.
Who's Mrs. Forsyth?
She's the head teacher. The head teacher of our school.
And what does she do?
She got a big tattoo on her thigh.
And what happens in the church?
And we do sacrifice and eat the baby.
What do you mean sacrifice and eat the baby?
So we kill the baby and eat it and drink the blood from it.
Is that true, Gabriel?
Yes. And we dance with the skulls.
You what?
We dance with the skulls in the church.
What skulls?
Skulls of the baby.
Pardon?
Baby skulls. The skulls of the baby.
You dance with the baby skulls?
Yes.
Okay, you can cut that, Jared.
Who kills the baby?
Okay, now the question is, are these kids programmed? Is this really true? Have they been programmed to give those answers? When they've had this investigation over this whole thing, are these kids programmed? And the fact that maybe they are programmed, does that make this not true? What do you think, Rich? Roger, you attorneys and you cops, what do you think? Hard to tell, isn't it? What's your reaction, Roger?
We know what's going on, Dave.
We know what's going on. Whether this is true, we know this kind of thing is going on.
But do you understand how many kids go lost in our country? They're all not running away. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're all not running away and becoming Hare Krishna women.
Amen. Amen. So what's the point I'm trying to make here? The point I'm trying to make today is there's something big that's going down around us, folks. Something big. And as I've tried to share before, throughout the scripture, remember this now. Oh, Lord, how do I say this that's going to sound like I'm not crazy? God hates all workers of iniquity. If these people are out doing these things to these little children, I'm going to tell you something. What did he tell Jehoshaphat? Don't you be nice to them, folks. Don't you dare be nice to them and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Because these folks are enemies of the cross. And not only are they enemies of the cross, not only are they workers of iniquity. Not only that, they are doing the diabolical work of their father, the devil. And one of the most profound questions I asked yesterday, does Jesus love Satan? I think we know the answer, don't we? So does Jesus love Satan's kids? Are we, or should we be going to John Podesta, Rich, trying to get him saved? Hey, George, should we go to Hillary and try to get Hillary saved? Is that what we should be doing? What did he say to Jehoshaphat? Quit being nice to them, folks. The seer told him. Quit being nice to them. What are you doing helping those that hate the Lord? Right out of the scriptures. What are our churches saying to do? Go love them. Go, Jesus, go show them the love of Jesus. Really? How's that working out?
Coach?
Yes.
Can I play devil's advocate for that?
Sure.
What does the Bible say about all of that? It says to pray for our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for even Obama, but I did not pray for the way most people would. I prayed that he had godly input, influence, and whatever God's will be done, not mine, but his.
I prayed the Lord would change his heart. That's what I prayed. Okay. I never prayed that the work of his hand would be blessed. Mm-hmm. I never, ever prayed that.
Yes.
I prayed that when he laid his bed down on his pillow at night, that the Holy Spirit would come to him. I prayed that kind of stuff for him. But yes. I never, ever. I would have never written him a letter and telling him how much Jesus loved him. I'd never do that. Because in my honest opinion, he's already crossed that bridge. He's already chosen who his God is. So then our obligation then becomes as Christians, at what point do we see that the Lord has turned him over to a reprobate mind? And at what point do we treat him the way the Lord treats him? The Lord has turned him over to a reprobate mind. At what point do we continue to try to share the love of Jesus with him? I don't know if I have the answer. But the idea that we should be supporting and cheering on these folks who are doing this wicked stuff. If John McCain is doing this, he needs to be brought to justice. He doesn't need to be told Jesus loves him. Now, if on the way, before they hit the switch on McCain, he turns to Jesus, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But at this point, it's not about leading McCain to Jesus. Does anybody disagree with me? Does anybody think I'm missing it here? They've been turned over. They've turned over. We know this pedophile stuff's going on. And what do we know that? What do we know? Can I connect the dot here? How much time I got? You know why your congressman won't do anything about it? I posted a picture yesterday of chemtrails on my Facebook page. Jared, see if you can find that real quick. Unbelievable. And you know what my wife said to me? My sweet little wife. Just go to my Facebook page, Jared. You'll find it. My sweet little wife said, honey, have you called our congressman? Won't they do anything about it? Why won't anybody do anything about it? My wife said to me. Because we would think that they would, wouldn't you? If we're being poisoned from up on top of us, you would think that they would do something about it. If the government, if guys in the government are raping little boys and little girls, you'd think they would do something about it, wouldn't you? You would think they would. Keep going. I think it's the next one, Jared. You would think they would. But why don't they? Well, there you are. So I don't know. Can you blow that picture up, Jared? Look, do you guys see that? Do you see that? I was sitting in my car at the post office. And then my wife said, why don't people do anything about that? Well, you know why? Because they're wiretapping everybody. They got goods on everybody. And those dudes in Washington, D.C., they're either going to fall in line or they're going to be exposed. They get to pick their medicine. Oh, yeah. You want to speak out about the chemtrails? Pat Tiberi, my congressman. You really want to, Pat? All right. You know what we got on you. Okay, I'll just lay low. Hey, Pat, you want to speak out against that pedophile that's going on? Bob Gibbs. Bob, Congressman Gibbs, you really want to speak out against that pedophile stuff? You know what we got on you, Congressman Gibbs? I won't say anything about it. That's what Larry Klayman, Joe Arpaio, Mike Zullo have all said, that they've taken all of their information about the phony birth certificate, about the same stuff that's coming out now, 2 years of this this whistleblower has been trying to get Congress to do something about it. Arpaio and Zullo have been trying to help him, and they take it to elected officials, and they give him the information, and it goes down a dark hole never to be heard from again. Why? Because they're controlling everybody. They're controlling judges. They're controlling elected officials. So, oh, that can't be. Now, you're a conspiracy theorist. No? I was a hell of a lot smarter than you. That's where we are, boys and girls. This is where we are. Look at that. That picture. Somebody said, hey, coach, what's that blue thing? Boy, I didn't even think about that. What is that blue thing? I don't know. I just snapped it on my phone. All right, somebody wind this down here. Bring me home here. I've been all over the place. But the point I'm trying to make is evil is flourishing because why? Jehoshaphat lets it happen, and he goes home. And what's he going to do? He's going to return to peace.
Hey, coach. Oh, just when you love evil, or even when you support evil, or even when you let evil continue, therefore you're not letting good continue. It's that simple. If you're not for him, you're against him.
That's the message to Jehoshaphat, right? And what did Jehoshaphat do, the righteous leader? What did he come and say? He said, I got me some judges, it says in verse 6. I got me some judges. We're going to go clean this mess up. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, there is an element in Washington, D.C. that's trying to clean the mess up. But the problem that we have, see, we think James Comey has a job to do. James Comey knows he has a job to do. The problem is, the job he has to do is not what we think it is. We think he's there to do good. He's not. He's there to do dirty. He's there to cover up. Why? 600 million documents, 47 hard drives full of spying information. Hey, Rick.
Jared hit the nail on the head when he says, if you're not for, you're against it. When it comes to right and wrong or good and evil, there are two possibilities. There is no middle ground.
There isn't any, Larry. There can't be. Now, hey, guys, if I send this to my congressman right here, this picture, and he looks at that, what's he going to do? Oh, I know what. He'll send me a letter, thank you for the information, and then he'll tell everybody I'm a conspiracy theorist. Hey, Rich, what the hell would you say that is on that screen? What is that?
I'd say that's not normal.
That ain't normal, is it?
That's not normal.
But it is. It is normal. It's not natural. But that's normal all across. You go down and read on my page. There's all kinds of comments, all kinds of views. People say, yeah, it's happening here too. It's happening here too. I bring it up. People laugh. Oh, it's just contrails. No big deal. It shows how blind we are. So I don't want to discourage you here on Friday. I want you to have a great weekend. But I want you to know something. There is something really, really, really big going on behind the scenes, folks. Lord told us there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing I can't complete that scripture. Nothing hidden. The pedophilia is true. The wiretapping is true. The devil's kids are in control of government. And before this whole thing comes apart, this is all going to have to be exposed. And so as we sit here today, March 24th, 2017, I think there's a shaking coming. I think there's a shaking coming very soon. That something's got to give. As my buddy Rich says, they're pushing us to the ledge. They're pushing us to the point where somebody's going to have to push back. Be encouraged. God bless you. We'll see you Monday morning.